Blog Talk Radio.
A snob is a guy that thinks he's blind. It's also known as a buster. Always thinking about what he wants and just sits on his broke ass.
Never had a success talk radio. I am Princeton of your host today, and we have with us Benjamin Apollos, and he is a part of Apollos National Bodybuilding Training, voted a top male trainer in the world of life fitness, currently setting up gyms, corporations, and fitness centers with Apollos concept, hosts Sunday morning services, the first ever fitness fellowship where people actually work out before they get the word. Excited about the show today. Today's topic is about stabilization and genetic testing and why it is important. So we have him at the top of the hour with us, and also in our second hour today, we will be talking to Jim Arnold. Jim Arnold is a UConn enthusiast, and he's also a big, big Husky fan of any of their athletic programs. He will be with us around 12:15, and we will talk Final Four, March Madness, and what's going to happen tonight. Florida UConn, they tip off at 6:09 tonight, and at 8:49 tonight, it's Kentucky versus Wisconsin. Who will win those matchups? We will get into that discussion around 12:15. But right now, we have Benjamin Apollos with us. Mr. Apollos, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing really good. And I want to remind our listeners that you're on with us in April every other Saturday, so it's exciting to have you on and to see what we can talk about and give our listeners some more information about fitness and working out and enhancing themselves mentally as well as physically. So I want to ask you, what is stabilization and why is it important?
Well, stabilization is just like any other kind of mode of preparation. No matter what it is that you do as it relates to fitness and getting your body in shape, stabilization, all it is building the foundation for preparing your body for exercise. You generally approach exercise with a biased or ambiguous mindset, whereas just because we might have some familiarity with fitness or athleticism, or in some way we've done some kind of physical involvement, that we think that just because my body has some familiarity with it, that it's always prepared for the next stage. For example, when we take the approach of training someone, we have to prepare their body for the actual training, because a lot of people come with illnesses, sicknesses, and or injuries, and we have to assess them properly to ensure that they're literally ready for personal training, for example. Because when they have those things, if we don't stabilize their body, they really cannot train. So, in effect, stabilization is building the foundation to prepare them for whatever it is that they say they want to do as it relates to physical fitness.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. Stabilization, it relates to, what is it, contraindications?
I'm sorry, say that again?
It says, what is stabilization? What does it relate to? Because I don't really understand. Is it contraindications?
Yeah, contraindications, yeah. Stabilization and contraindications are, you can't really deal with one without not dealing with the other. Of course, stabilization, once again, is the foundation, and is literally, stabilization program is designed for a particular person as it relates to exercise, to get them prepared for whatever their physiological or fitness goals are. So if a person comes to me and they say, I just want to be in the best possible shape of my life, and they have to define for me how that looks to them, because I will do a health assessment to determine what that is. And once the health assessment is done, then we do a fitness assessment to literally test their body's ability to move. And then, of course, with that, we do quality of life assessments. And the quality of life assessments help us to understand the way that they think from the cognitive standpoint, help us understand their spiritual state, and also helps us to understand their fitness and their mental state. So when we take the approach of body, mind, and spirit, it helps us to understand who the person is altogether at the point in time in which they come to us. And from that, from the results from that those assessments, then we're able to devise a stabilization plan that will help them to reach their goals. Now, contraindications have to be considered, because contraindications may be things that are going on inside their body already, sicknesses, illnesses, and or injuries. But also the contraindication can be like a medication. It could be a lifestyle they have that's going to stop them from getting in the kind of shape that they need to get in to improve their quality of life. I know that's a lot of words,
so
but I'm trying to explain it to you.
That's okay, because I'm a personalized, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about me just because I want to interject here. So always had a weight problem all of my life, been kind of yo-yo up and down, but I'm top heavy. So, and if I gain weight, it's always in my stomach. What would be the one thing that you would say to me if I want to be in better shape and be at the best top shape of my life?
Okay, the best way I can answer that question, and we'll actually pick up on this a little bit later. One of the things that makes my company different is that we do genetic testing, because you can't just say because a person has they have a predisposition towards or a predisposition or variation towards getting thick around the waist whenever they gain weight, and you can arbitrarily just say you know what the problem is. You have to do a genetic test. You have to find out if they literally have a predisposition for having gaining weight around their waist, or has it been the lifestyle that they participated in. So, for example, you can kind of, when you go to a family reunion, you can look at the bloodline. You can kind of, you know, consistently identify an issue that has plagued that family as it relates to physical health. You know, you got some families where people have big butts, they have big legs, they have big arms. They have, you know, you just look around and most of the people in that family have that trait. Now, one can say from a visual. From a visual, physiological assessment that, okay, in that family, people got big arms. In that family, people got big stomachs. People, you follow what I'm saying? However, with the genetic test, it'll pinpoint that for us, and it'll tell us literally where that person's predispositionary problems are, because this is something that's literally in their gene trait. And we'll be, when the test comes back, it tells us, it gives us that information. So for you, I couldn't just arbitrarily just say, okay, you have a problem with the weight comes in your stomach all the time, because that's the same thing that happens to everybody else in the family. The gene test would give me that predispositionary variation. You follow what I'm saying? So
yes, I do.
We have to do the proper assessment. You know? Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. Completely understand that. So what is the importance of the TOPS model?
The TOPS model is, it's my brainchild. You know, in the fitness industry, you know, the giants in the industry, they all have models that they've created that makes sense to the people that they serve. Like, there are a lot of different, you know, we see it on television all the time. We see P90X, we see Antenna, we see Brazilian Butt, Turbo 5. We see all kind of different genres of training. Everybody has their own opinion as to what it's going to take to get people in shape. Well, they have systems that they've created that they believe is the better system, that it's better than anything that's ever created. Well, so does Apollo's. We believe that the TOPS model is really the granddaddy of them all, simply because, well, first of all, let me tell you what the acronym stands for, TOPS, Targeted Optimization Performance Systems. And the reason I named it that, because everything that we do is targeted as it relates to physical progress. That's the T. The O means optimization. That means that we're going to do our very best to optimize your health to ensure that you can get in the best possible shape. P, obviously, is for performance, is how you literally perform based on the program that we've given you. And the system, you know, self-explanatory, it explains everything else we just gave you in the TOP. So The TOPS model, it deals with five different levels of progression as it relates to exercise, but it also deals with six different stages. For example, you start off with the stabilization phase, which really never stops. Anytime you're training, no matter what time, how advanced you've gotten, it doesn't matter like what stage of progression that you reach, you're always going to keep your body stabilized as to not hurt yourself. And the second level would be beginner. And that's when the actual training plan begins. Now, the stabilization stage, it could last up to 6 months. It just depends on what's going on in that person's body. So if they have injuries, mm-hmm. sicknesses, and or injuries, it could take even longer than that. But we tell our clients, for example, that it may take up to 6 months for us to stabilize your body to get to a point where your body can really literally handle some real training. So then that stage would be beginner, and then intermediate, mm-hmm. and then advanced, and, of course, athlete, and then the top tier would be extreme. And, of course, you know, if we want to go back through those different stages a little bit later, we can do that. But, you know, obviously mm-hmm. there's assessments that have to take place in order to ensure that person is ready for the next level of training. So that's what the TOPS model is all about.
Okay. And I definitely want to get into that a little bit more because I have some more personal questions, but we will progress on here. You mentioned genetic testing earlier, and we kind of touched on it, but how do you perform that test? Can you go back and explain that to me?
Yeah, well, I have contracts with three different companies, one in England, okay. one in Canada, and then one here in the United States. And they all have different prices, but the goal here is to get the pertinent data that I need to ensure that I've mm-hmm. given myself the best possible chance to help any individual. So it doesn't make sense if I continue on in the trend that most personal fitness experts consider themselves experts do, where even the big name companies that you see on television, radio, the P90Xs, the Insanities, the Weight Watchers, the Nutrisystems, the Jenny Craig, all of them, they have it wrong. And let me tell you why they have it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because the technology is available for us to do the proper assessments, genetically speaking, to ensure that any exercise or eating plan that we're prescribing to a particular individual is custom designed just for them. It fits their DNA, it fits their essence, it fits their particular situation. And also, the other thing it does is it gives us an outline. The gene test itself comes back as about 88 pages. So what I did, I created a power matrix. And the power matrix scales mm-hmm. the information from the gene test, and it breaks it down to like 11 pages, and it makes it very easy to read for the client, because when you look at the gene test, it has a lot of algorithms in it and equations and, you know, really, really big words, jargon, that unless you're familiar with the industry and a little bit about, you know, biology and chemistry and algorithms and mathematical equations, a lot of stuff you're just not going to understand. So I took, I break it down into a power matrix, which is also my baby, and it, I take about 500 foods based on what the DNA test has given me as it relates to variations, and I pull that data out and I make it custom designed just for you. The same thing with exercise. It has certain variations. For example, you might have, you said to me that you had a problem over the years with weight up and down mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. And the reason you've had that problem is because you have not been able to pinpoint your variation for exercise and eating, and that's why it keeps coming back. The gene test solves all that, because once you get the test back, it tells us exactly what the perfect foods for you, also in the perfect exercises. For example, I have, for most of my clients, what we're getting back now as related to the gene test mm-hmm. is that we found that they have performed, they performed the weightlifting, for example, as a means to tone their body and to get in shape. We call that hypertrophy. We'll talk a little bit about that later. But they perform mm-hmm. weightlifting exercises, and when their variation for the gene test comes back, it says that weightlifting is bad for them. It's not going to work for them. And what's going to work more for them is what we call isometric, isotonic, oxytonic, and those type of exercises that anchor the body to a point where they're literally using their body's weight, their own body weight as resistance. So they're not using any independent apparatus like a dumbbell or a kettlebell or medicine ball or anything like that. we design programs that will literally help them to use their own body weight to help them get in shape. So that's those are the kind of things that Gene Touch does. It's awesome. It's really a good setup. But anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I definitely want to get more into that for sure. When we come back, I want to ask you about some trend settings as far as genetic testing. You kind of touched on a little bit. And also, you know, my listeners here in South Carolina, in Atlanta and Charlotte, I want them to know how and where to get this testing done through you. So we'll talk about that when we come back. I have Benjamin Apollos on with us, and he is talking to us about stabilization and genetic testing. We have him here, and he's with us every other Saturday in the month of April. Benjamin, hold on. We'll be right back. This has Never Had It So Good Sports Talk Radio. Be mindful that on Monday we have GHS Elite with us on Monday. On Tuesday we have Tony Ballard and HustleEatQuarterback.com. On Wednesday we have Joe Burns and RisingSenior.com. And on Thursday we have Emerson Martin and his son Jared Jones on with us when PlayersToPros.com and their organization out of Raleigh, North Carolina. And Friday, we are live at the Hills Barbershop every Friday at 5 o'clock with Nation's number one, the sports prophet, Deacon Moses Felder, and myself. So we have that all going on next week. We have we have Benjamin with us right now, Benjamin Apollos, and he's talking about stabilization and then genetics. And we will have him back in just a moment. This has Never Had It So Good, Sports Talk Radio. Okay, we're back with Never Had It So Good Sports Talk Radio, and we're talking to Benjamin Apollos, and we're talking stabilization and genetics. And Benjamin, I wanted to ask you a little bit about trends. Well, we discussed that earlier when we said trends is what you're going to gather from the testing, and you will be able to tell me more about my body type. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes. Well, body type is another discussion. But it's a lot more intrinsic than that. It's a lot more in depth. For example, when we do the DNA test, which is the same. So if I use DNA and genetic test, they're interchangeable. So I'm talking about the same thing.
Okay.
But the DNA test deals with your essence, all the way down to the smallest molecule of your existence. Whereas with body type, it's just more like endomorph, mesomorph, and ectomorph, which medium, large, or small, for example.
Yes.
As far as trend setting is concerned, we are setting the trend. We are literally leading the way in fitness because nobody else is doing what we do, and especially in its entirety. And if they are, we've done the research. We don't know that they exist. So we're literally leading the way. We're setting the trend because what we're doing is we're making everyone who considers themselves health and fitness experts to rethink what they do. And literally, within the next 10 years, pretty much everybody will be doing this, and we're leading the way. And make sure that you remember is that we set the trend. We were the first to do this because the fact of the matter is that a person can what we joke about in the fitness community a lot, particularly the trainers that have been around for a while, is what we know is that anybody who any desire to work out, they have any passion for fitness, they can help you to lose weight. Matter of fact, any person that knows a little bit about exercise, if they give you a plan that is challenging enough to your fitness position, they can help you to lose weight, 100 pounds, 150 pounds. The problem is this. The trauma that even if they don't know what they're doing, it could still work. because the trauma, the physical trauma that they inflict on you causes your body to respond to the trauma. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it makes
mm-hmm.
it, at the end of the day, it makes it seem like they knew what they were doing. But watch this. Once
yeah.
we get the gene test and we do the contraindications assessments, we may find out that that same trainer that trained you a year and a half ago has jacked up your knees for life, and the gene test will give us that information. The contraindication assessment
mm-hmm.
will give us that information. Now, you look great, but now you wonder why your knees are cracking. You wonder why you got ankle problems. You wonder why your back is hurting or your shoulder is hurting or your upper neck is hurting. These are some of the more common areas of concern, and it's because these people, for the most part, they don't even know what they're doing. What studies show is that there are approximately 292,000 registered personal trainers in the United States. Studies also show there are at least four times that many trainers out there arbitrarily calling themselves trainers who have never been through any kind of formal training. Here's the other thing that's a shocker. Our industry is not regulated. The fitness industry is not regulated. So anybody that says that they are a certified personal trainer or a certified athletic director, a certified fitness trainer, a certified master trainer, they can say that, and they can say that without having any kind of backlash or collateral damage regarding that, because our industry
mm-hmm.
is not regulated by the federal government. Most people don't even know that.
Wow. No, I didn't know that for sure. I definitely did not know that. Now, I know
mm-hmm.
someone that's interested in being a certified trainer. What would you suggest that that person does?
Of course, they need to come to me. They need to go to apollosnation.com, APOLLOSNATION.com, and send me an email or you can call me. But this is the reason why I started certifying trainers 16 years ago. I actually realized that the industry wasn't regulated about 27 years ago. I was like, wow, that's interesting. So I started getting certified through the organizations that have been around for a while, and that's how I really became educated regarding the industry and the trend in which it was going. But you know what I realized is that I knew more than they did. And so I followed the Apollos Institute. Matter of fact, I've never heard of the company called the American Council on Health and Fitness.
Yes, I have.
You heard of that company?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I found it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I found it.
Okay.
I sold it in 2004, but I just acquired it again 2 days ago. So,
wow, congratulations.
But, yeah, thank you. So, yeah, it's just so much people just don't know, and we probably just need to have a whole show one day on about the industry itself and, you know, why it's not regulated, how to look out for the bad trainers, because there are a lot of them out there that are just horrible. They look great, but they don't know anything about fitness or education.
Well, I'm definitely going to send that person your way. He is a part of the staff of Never Had a So Good Sports Radio, former Marine, and he's always talking about getting certified in training. I want to go a little bit personal. It's something that you may have heard growing up, something that I've heard growing up, and something that I've said a million times until I really got my weight under control, and that is I'm not going to eat after 9 o'clock, or it's too late to eat, or I can't eat that at 10 or 11. What does that really mean? What are we really saying?
Okay, you're talking about like at night or in the morning?
Yeah, at night. You know, I hear, I always heard my parents saying that, you know, it's too late to eat that. Why are you eating so late? I mean, why do you really say that? Do you think that you're going to gain weight when you lay down?
Oh, 100%. It doesn't matter who you are. You're going to put on some fat.
Yes.
Now, you may have a very fast metabolism, and you may actually burn it off before the fat cells actually turn into adipose tissue, before they actually lodge themselves
mm-hmm.
against the intestines, or beneath the muscle, or even on top of the muscle. So you may, or even in the skin. So if you
mm-hmm.
you can catch it, you know, everything you eat is set on a time release. You notice that when you eat, that it takes your body at least 2 hours to digest the food. And the reason God did that is to ensure that our body doesn't release too many nutrients at one time. Because too much of that stuff, too much of a good thing, for example, in our bloodstream can literally kill us. It can overwhelm our bloodstream with nutrients that are inherently good and literally take our lives. So when we
mm-hmm.
when you take medication, you take nutritional supplements. All these things are, mm-hmm. are set up on a time release system. It releases only so much of it at a time so that your body can process it. Now, going back to the question that you asked initially, here's the thing. This one was kind of, if you think about it, it's kind of common sense, but to some people it may not sound like it, but if you think about it, look at it like this. If your body's metabolism slows down after a certain time of the day, which it does,
mm-hmm.
your body's getting prepared mm-hmm. for sleep, to rest, to recuperate. Well, you know, that's by design, of course. You know, God had a plan in that for our body to rest.
Mm-hmm.
However, if we're going to eat after a certain, there are a couple of things that are taken into consideration. If we're going to eat after a certain time of the day that may cause our body to store fat, we need to ensure that pretty much everything's got sugar in it, first of all. It doesn't matter if it tastes sweet or not. It's still a sugar. For example, carbohydrates, all they are sugars. Rice,
mm-hmm.
potatoes, pastas, those things that are heavy in carbohydrates or complex carbohydrates, they're literally sugar. And that's why carbohydrates are actually responsible for about 90% of our energy output. So if you eat, what I do for my clients is, particularly during the stabilization program, let's say if it's let's say if they can't get the gene test for 30, 60, 90 days, I'll put them on an eating stabilization program that causes their body to have burned all the heavy calories before it gets too late in the evening, because the body's metabolism is actually going to start to slow down, particularly after about 7 o'clock in the evening. And so it's not going to burn as quickly. It's going to render itself to store more, because all in preparation for sleep, so that during that time your body can recuperate and recover. So, yeah. And then, of course, if you have a slow metabolism, you know, that's going to be even more of a contraindication. So that's going to make it very difficult for you to burn those calories off before you go to bed.
Okay. All right. Now I have a question, too. A lot of my college roommates and friends from Spelman, they are listening in today. And the one consensus, because I wrote them and asked them to give me a question to ask, and number one was, is there such a thing as spot reduction? Can they just work on their thighs? Can they just work on one spot and have that to happen?
It is, but not without the prerequisite. For example, if every body part is connected to something else, right? We all agree that. Okay, so
yeah.
you take all the body parts and it makes a whole. That's what makes a body. Now, since everything is connected, the same blood that's going through my fingertips goes through my heart, all right? So that's a transport of nutrients. That's a transport of nutrients, bacteria, and all these things. Now, when you really consider the reality of it, once you've gotten your body in shape, your body's conditioned, then you can start targeting, but not before that. You're going to waste a whole lot of time, okay? You need to get every part of your body, you need to get your entire body into decent condition before you can start targeting.
Okay.
But you can target.
Okay.
Yes, you can. Yes.
Okay, so that's a better word. I like that better, and that is targeting versus spot reduction. We are talking to Benjamin Apollos, and he's discussing the stabilization genetics with us, and we will have more from him in just a moment, because I really want to get into all the listeners out there, if they want some of this genetic testing done, how easy it can be, and that it can be sent to your home. So I want you to elaborate on that when we come back, Mr. Apollos. This is Never Had It So Good Sports Talk Radio. Make sure to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/NeverHadItSoGoodSportsRadio, and also to follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/NeverHadItRadio. And if you want to find out my thoughts on the hot topics in sports, you can find me in two places. One is sportstalkprincess.blogspot.com, and another one is sportsblog.com/NeverHadItSoGoodSportsTalkRadio. I am Princess, and we will be right back. We're talking to Benjamin Apollos, and he's discussing with us some of the things that we need to do and the stabilization and, of course, genetics testing. We will be right back. Never Had It So Good, Sports Talk Radio.
Tonight. Yeah, off the wall.
Love is back from the front to back. That's the way I like it. Think got a kid.
Off the wall and off the chain with it, we crunking the same sentence. Drunk and we ain't finished, I got the bar covered. No need to surrender your cup to the bartender. Tell him, fill it up a little.
Shorty, there's really got it going on.
And I wanna know
it. Just the way that you got that dress on.
Had to move up on her.
In the club is packed from the front to back. Just the way that I like. You gotta get it how you live it. And we're bound to have a good time. Oh,
and the party people every night. Living like crazy, that's the only way. So come on everybody, let me hear you say. Living like crazy, that's the only way.
With Benjamin Apollos, national body champ, bodybuilding champion, also voted as top male trainer in the world by Life Fitness, currently setting up gyms and corporations and fitness centers with Apollos concept, holds Sunday morning services, the first ever fitness fellowship where people actually work out before they get the word. Excited about the show today. He is definitely talking to us about stabilization and genetic testing. I keep getting that word wrong, and I'm going to get it right before we end the show. Benjamin, I wanted to ask you more about some of the personal things that I've heard when I put out the blog about we were talking to you, and that's about athletes. I have some former athletes that are listeners of the show. They're in their 60s and 70s, and they are having some knee problems. They are very tall, 6'8", 6'10". And they're trying to do a little bit of training, but of course they say they have bad knees. What do you tell them?
Oh, great question. You know, I'll say this. I'm going to answer that question, but we definitely need to have a show just for that, for people who have injuries, particularly as you age, and so we can cover different stages of that process.
Okay.
A couple of things. You know, with the just like with any joint, you know, you have ligaments, tendons, and you have, of course, cartilage. And you have the muscles that are also attached to the what we call tension fasciae, which is it helps to tighten the both side or all sides of the joint to ensure that it stays in place. So if those muscles, ligaments, and tendons are not working in synergy, then eventually the joint is going to come loose, right? So what has to happen is that you have to train the muscles in what we call an elongated fashion to ensure that the muscles are strengthened, the ligaments are strengthened, the tendons are strengthened. Also, in the three major planes of training, one major plane of training is frontal plane, where when you walk straight forward or you back up, that's the frontal plane. So we need to make sure that the muscles are strong and the ligaments and tendons are strong in those angles to ensure that when you walk or you move in those angles, they're supported. The same thing in the lateral plane, like if you move from side to side. And then also the same thing for the transverse plane, which is always in between the lateral and the frontal plane. So what it does then, it secures the joints from every possible angle to ensure that if you do move in the lateral plane or, you know, like from side to side, if you move in an angle, that the joints are secure so that it doesn't buckle. And so there's a way to secure the joints in such a way that the joints have time to heal. And, of course, every situation is different. So we would just have to do an assessment to see how bad those injuries are. So hopefully that helped out a little bit.
Yes, that did, and I hope it did. And if there's any listeners that want to give us a call in, I'm sure that Benjamin Apollos will take your question right now. We'll definitely have other shows to talk about some of this. We'll bring it up. 347-637-3286 is the number if you want to call in. Let's stop right now before we move further because I have other questions. But how do we get in contact with you if we want to have this genetic test done, and what is the process? Because I hear we can stay right here in South Carolina and still get it done. Tell me about that, Mr. Apollos.
Yes, that's definitely divine order. I was going to that. well, you can call the 800 number, which is 844-885-5433, or they can call me direct. And then if I don't pick up, then call me direct, and I'll tell you this first. Then call me direct at 404-536-0544. 404-536-0544. Now, if I don't pick up and they leave a message, to, if they're sure that they are telling me that they heard me on Blog Talk Radio, then I will get back with them within 24 hours myself. Personally, I won't have anybody to call them back, of course, unless I get overloaded. And also go to my website, apollosnation.com. That's APOLLOS Nation, NATION.com. Yes, we can have the kit sent directly to the home. It's very simple, painless. All you got to do is provide a, the instructions will be in the kit. And you provide a saliva sample, send it back in as soon as possible, and within 2 to 3 weeks, the results will be back in your house. We'll mail it back to you. Here's the other way you can do it. Once you purchase the gene test, I will create a portal for you, and so you'll be able to actually look at the results online. Now, and you can take it a step further. The gene test, it depends on the company that I use. It can get a little costly. However, who's listening to the radio, if they decide they want the gene test, no matter where they are in the world, not just the country, no matter where they are, as long as they sign up with one of our partner trainers, then for at least 52 sessions, you don't have to pay that in full, but whatever that trainer charges, that's their business, okay? But if they sign up with a trainer that is a partner with my organization, I will pay for the gene test myself.
Oh, wow. Okay. Very good.
So
hear that, listeners? You will definitely pay
it. Yes, I'll pay for it myself. So they have to – and the reason I say at least 52 sessions because that lasts about 5 to 6 months. And what it does, it gives us the best opportunity to help you. It really shows that this is the best and the healthiest way to optimize your health, to get you in the best possible shape. And the really cool thing about it, we cannot miss.
Oh, wow. I like that last statement, we cannot miss. Okay. Thank you for that information. Again, listeners, 347-637-3286 if you want to ask them a question. I have one, and that is you mentioned the only fellowship service where you work out before fellowship. Expound on that for me.
Yeah, that's no baby of mine. About 5 weeks ago, of course, this is something I wanted to do many, many years ago. But, you know, of course, with my involvement in military combat and, my own businesses and family and all that, I never got around to this specific concept. I'm certain that I was put on earth to bring God's people to the Lord through the device in a vehicle of fitness. I am probably the only qualified minister that is not only licensed and ordained minister for 21 years, licensed counselor, and certified trainer, only one in the world that has all those three different qualifications. So I was like, Lord, you know, what is it that you want me to do? How do you want me to do this? And he just spoke to me clearly and said, you know, I need you to be the very first fitness pastor in the world. I said, yes, sir. So start putting everything together. Anyone who knows me, they know that I'm very organized. And I do my research. I like to ensure that I have documents, policies, and publications for everything. So we started 5 weeks ago, and here, actually right outside, I have a 3.2-acre property in the country, and we're like on my deck out here. I have a huge concrete deck, and it's all covered by oak trees. It's absolutely gorgeous. And if you go online, you'll see it. And so what we do is before we – the way it really works is that when, of course, it looks the setting is more like a covenant setting. We're in a circle,
mm-hmm.
and I'm kind of like I'm towards the front of the circle, but I'm in mm-hmm. kind of inside the circle itself. And so I break the word of God to those the participants for about 20 minutes, and then right after that we have dialogue about what they think that they heard, and then soon after that we stretch and we have exercise. And that's another way we fellowship. And then we break bread together. Now, the cool thing is that
okay.
everybody who's there, I'm literally their personal trainer. So they get the best male trainer in the world right there in the flesh training them, and it costs them nothing.
Okay. Okay. Now, that's pretty powerful. I like that. So, because I was thinking, you know what, when I work out, I'm a little bit toasted. So then the last thing I want to do maybe is go – and, you know, go to church. But if you do it all in one sitting, you know, that's yeah. pretty powerful. I like that. So I heard you laugh.
I know, because I know what you mean when you say you're pretty toasted and,
mm-hmm.
yeah, and having to go. That's good, though, because you can go three places. You get three things done at one time. You can eat, literally eat. You eat your physical body.
Mm-hmm.
You get the spiritual food, and then you get the fitness food. So you get all three.
I do agree with you, you know, and even though I said it'd be toasted, I think, you know, sometimes I get to the point where, okay, I dread working out, but once I get into it, I love it, and then I love the feeling afterwards even better. So it's really a good toasted, so I do want to mention that. Let's talk about your YouTube video out there and the guy, Tony Horton, who invented P90X and how you beat him at his own exercise. I want to hear a little bit more about that, sir.
That's funny. Yeah, because it kind of mm-hmm. the way it happened is I was invited to a health and fitness convention in this past October, and I didn't even know he was going to be there. And long and short of it is, he and I and about probably say 15 other trainers ended up working out in the gym together, and so he thought he'd challenge everyone in the gym, and he was the one that, of course, you know, he set the stage where it would favor him. So he had these real creative exercises that were very difficult to perform. And then mm-hmm. everybody said, we're challenging. And if you look at the video that's on my site at apollosnation.com, you'll see that all these mainly guys, they tried to beat him at the exercise, and I was the only one that beat him. And he created the exercise. In mm-hmm. fact, he spotted me, and he did 25, and I did 26. But he only counted 26, but I did about 32. So I was really interested in how
okay.
that happened. So, yeah.
Wow.
That was exciting. That was exciting. Oh, and by the way, I was in jeans.
All right.
I whipped his butt. I whipped his butt when I was in jeans.
Oh, wow.
That was
you were in jeans.
That was fun.
So you, Allen Iverson, you kept your shoes on and your dress pants on and beat him, huh?
Yes, ma'am. My suspenders and my boots. John knows a little bit about boots, don't he?
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Sir. Yes, sir. You hear him, don't you? You can hear him in the background.
Yeah.
He's definitely laughing. Okay, we are talking to Benjamin Apollos about stabilization and genetics. And, you know, during this conversation, Apollos, we have definitely talked ourselves into a lot more episodes than I thought we would, because I definitely want to do this in one of our episodes, and that is get a few of my friends on, one who is recovering from cancer, one who is just struggling with their weight, and one who just is healthy, who are looking to maybe build some body mass. I want to go get those three friends on that are, you know, my friends, and just let them ask you questions. So I want to tell those listeners out there, my friends, that show is definitely coming, because I want him to talk to you all. We are talking to Benjamin Apollos. This has never had a so good Sports Talk Radio. We will be back because we want to get some contact information from him and learn more about what he's doing, and be for you all to be able to contact him. I think that's important for our listeners to get, is the contact information, because he said a lot of great things, and I know if you call him, he will definitely respond. This has never had it so good, Sports Talk Radio. We will be right back. Okay, we're back with Never Had It So Good Sports Talk Radio. I'm going to give a thanks to our partners out there, and that's Benedict College. Thank you so much for believing in us. We have Sid Gaddis and Gaddis Pro Audio that provides all of our audio equipment. We really appreciate you, Sid Gaddis. We also appreciate Tim Garrison and Chill Out Jazz out of L.A. who does all of our voiceovers. Thank you so much for being a part of Never Had It So Good Sports Talk. And a big thank you to Thad Jackson and All Funk Radio out of Dallas-Fort Worth. They provide all of our music for our show. Therefore, it is copyrighted. We definitely own it. Thank you again, Thad Jackson and All Funk Radio. And thank you to John Robinson and John Robinson Towel. He does so much as a partner and as a friend, so we really appreciate the support of John Robinson and Powell. Again, these are our partners, and we appreciate you as you appreciate us. We have Benjamin Apollos on, and we're talking about stabilization and genetics. Apollos, I want to ask you, you mentioned here that you have a lot of different gyms out there and corporations. Tell me about some of the gyms that you have over North America.
Well, I have, of course, you know, the Apollos Nation. We're connected internationally. I've certified almost 2,000 personal trainers myself since 1998. So we have trainers and partnerships all over the globe, and that's pretty much how my business extends. But I have major partners and customers that I've served to include ESPN, Life Fitness, PT on the Net, Uniform Sports Nutrition. I even have a partnership with U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Of course, the American Red Cross, American Heart Association, Coldwell Banker, BP Gas. I mean, the list goes on and on. The major fitness chain that I have a partnership right now is called Snap Fitness. They have nearly 2,500 fitness centers worldwide. We're in the process of working with recording Gold's Gym, World's Gym, Powerhouse, and LA Fitness right now. So I'm sure that those relationships will be very, very fruitful. But, you know, this concept that I have today is more, is designed for consultation more than it is me being an actual fitness environment, if that makes sense. So I set my fitness programs up in these different organizations, and that's how my company is growing. It's growing like wildfire. It's very difficult to keep up with. So praise God.
Okay. Praise God. That's right. You want to be busy. That means you're in demand. Now, I touched on something before we went to break, and I didn't give you a chance to amen it, and I definitely need your amen in this one, and that is the three people, three women in my life that I want to get on the show so that they can ask you questions. Is that something conducive for what you do, and you will do that for me on the show?
Sure, 100%.
Okay, okay. Just want to make sure. That's right, and I feel the same way. I love it. I love it. Your family.
Gotta have charisma.
Hey,
good.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know what? I appreciate you, and anything that you need from us, you and Ella, you definitely just let us know. But I want you to go ahead and give some contact information out there on how they find you, because I have listeners all over the United States now, 43 states and 11 countries, and I want them to hear what you have to say.
Praise the Lord. my preference is for them to go to apollosnation.com. That's APOLLOS. Nation, NATION.com, so apollosnation.com, and then, of course, there are several ways that they can just click on how to contact me, and most of those my assistant get, but she's very, very proficient. Ella's very proficient, and so she'll ensure that I get the messages within 24 hours, and you'd be surprised, with as busy as I am, how well I get back with people. And, of course, the 800 number is 844-8. Myself here, 844-855-5433. My direct number is 404-536-0544. Also, if they want to send me a personal email, a direct email, nobody else gets it but me, it will be benjamin@apollosnation.com. And you spell Benjamin, B-E-N-J-A-M-I-N, @apollosnation.com. And I want to bless you all right now, and I pray that what you all are doing prospers beyond your wildest imagination, to the point to where you have to hire 10 people every month just to keep up with it. I just want to bless you all with that, because you guys are doing great work, And I do have the gift of prophecy, so I truly believe that what I speak, and you all are in agreement, because the Bible tells us that whatever we bind here on earth, we bound in heaven. So I believe that God is going to make this come to pass, because what you all are doing is anointed, it is blessed, and you're doing the Lord's work.
Amen. Amen. Yes. We want to be powerful. We want to make sure that we're putting out great product, and we want to help people with this great product and this radio show. That's what it's all about. It's to give out great information, whether it's the little-known Black history fact, whether it's bringing to the light of different subjects in the world of sports, or people like you who are blessing other people and making their bodies better, as well as making their mentality and their spirituality better. So we definitely believe in you all too, Benjamin. Thank you so much for being on. Now, is there anything else you want to leave us with? Is there any tip out there of the week or the day, or should we just look forward to the next show?
Well, the first thing I would say is that don't just listen to anything, because nothing makes sense unless you know what's going on in your body first, because you don't know if you have a bone degeneration disease like osteoporosis or osteoarthritis, and you're putting your entire life, your health into somebody's hands, and they haven't done the proper assessment. And the only real way to do that is through genetic testing. So please call me. I am available. The friendly person you hear now is the friendly person you'll get when we talk. So make sure that you call, because I can't help you unless you call me.
Amen. Okay. Thank you so much. We will see you two Saturdays from now, unless you know the demand just gets so great. And I think the demand is getting so great because when I put it out there on my blog, people email me and they definitely had some things to ask. Thank you, Apollos. I appreciate you, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Sounds great. Thanks again. God bless you.
Okay. This is Never Had It So Good Sports Talk Radio. We will be back to end the show, but I just want to give a big thank you again to Benjamin Apollos, who has done great work, and he wanted to start off with his first episode about stabilization and genetics, and we did that today. We need to know first how to handle your situation, and I guess that starts with genetics and the stabilization first. Never Had It So Good. Make sure to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/neverhaditsogoodsportsradio and follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/neverhaditradio. I'm Princess. We will be right back.
1976, C28, Chevy Camaro. Feel the power. How would you like to win this car? That's right. How would you like to win a 1976 C28 Chevy Camaro? Listen to the following announcement for your chance to win.
Nonprofit organizations play a major role in servicing, improving, and building strong communities. But who helps those who help others? Give & Go is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping the help. By joining Give & Go, members are contributing to sustainable change in our communities by nominating nonprofits of their choice to receive micro-grants and sponsorship. You also receive great benefits when you become a member. Plus, you could win a 1976 Chevy Camaro. So, help the help. Join Give & Go today. Just visit giveandgo.org. That's giveandgo.org.
Okay, we're back with Never Had It So Good Sports Talk Radio, and I am Princess. And again, thank you to Benjamin Apollos and all that he's doing all over the country, and the fact that he's taking time to tell my listeners about fitness and how to be better at it, and also to hone in on what's wrong with them, and that starts with genetic testing. I want to remind everybody that on Monday we have GHS Elite Management Group in the house, and that will be Tiffany, Jasmine, and also Trendisha. On Tuesday, we'll be talking to Tony Ballard. He's having his big camp this weekend called Golden Arm Challenge. He will have about 50 young quarterbacks in his camp, and they will do everything from testing to being on the field, and a little bit of spirituality go with it. And then on Wednesday, Joe Burns, risingsenior.com, one of the many to come out of Thomasville, Georgia, is one of the best athletes ever, played for Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets and then went on to the Buffalo Bills. On Thursday, we are back with Derek Jones and his father, Emerson Smith, as they talk about players to pros, how they have players who are getting the help from pros and their involvement to making the best decisions later on in their careers. And on Friday, We are always live at Hills Barbershop, 2339 Elmwood Avenue. Yesterday, Friday at 5, we had Coach James Woody and Coach Shula, and they were there from Benedict College. Their spring game is April 12th. It kicks off at 2 o'clock that Saturday. So make sure if you're in the house and you're listening right now that we go out and support Benedict College and what they're trying to do in their football program and the rest of their athletics program. And a shout-out to Frankie Jackson, who's big in our involvement with Benedict College, and also a shout-out to Coach Washington. We love the partnership, and we hope that we can do well by you as you do well by us. A continued shout-out to our partners, Tim Garrison and Chill Out Jazz, Zed Jackson and All Funk Radio, and Sid Gaddis and Gaddis Pro Audio. And a big thanks always to John Robinson and John Robinson Towel. Now, at the top of the hour, we are talking March Madness. That's right. I want to talk about what's going on tonight, and that is Florida versus UConn and also Kentucky versus Wisconsin. My hope is that my Gators make it, and then I would rather face Wisconsin rather than Kentucky. But we got a lot to talk about with Jim Arnold. He will be on air around the 12:15 minute, so we will see him then. Right now we're going to take a little break. This has Never Had It So Good Sports Talk Radio. We will come back to see you and talk March Madness. A lot of things going on, and we want to definitely be a part of the conversation, get some predictions, and then see how that all plays out. Never Had It So Good Sports Talk Radio. Okay, we are back with Never Had It So Good Sports Talk Radio. We took a little break there as we had Benjamin Apollos, National Trainer of the Year, on, as he talked about stabilization and genetics training, and I got to learn a lot that if we're going to start this journey to a better health and a better body, then we got to start with the testing to see where our predispositions come from, to see what is going on with our body first, and then we'll get to work on that. We also asked about spot training and spot reduction. He said there can be some target reduction after you get your body in the right frame of mind. So we discussed that with Benjamin Apollos, and he gave us a lot of information. And he will be back every other Saturday in the month of April. We appreciate your partnership, Benjamin. Thank you so much. We want to look at what's going on now. We are talking March Madness now. This is my time of the year. And road to the Final Four, hopefully, that road to the Final Four goes through Gainesville, Florida, straight to Dallas-Fort Worth area. That is my hope, and I hope it goes straight on to the national championship on Monday, and my Gators are smiling as of Monday night. But a lot of hard work has to be done until then. Nike had an ad out with the big muscle of Patrick Young, and it said, expected but earned. And I can't find a better way to explain what the Gators have been through this year as far as their basketball season. Two losses this year against Wisconsin and then against UConn. UConn, December 2nd, was the last loss, and they are on a 30-game win streak. They've played all three other teams that are in March Madness right now, and that's the Wisconsin Badgers, UConn Huskies, and, of course, Kentucky Wildcats. They played the Wildcats three times. They beat them by 10, beat them by 19, and then the last game in the SEC championship game, they only beat them by one. Most people are predicting a all-SEC national championship game, but we'll see about that. I think UConn and Wisconsin may have a lot to say about the ending of that. I know that they will, so we'll see where that comes. Big news in college basketball right now, Doug McDermott was named the Player of the Year through the Wooden Award. No surprise there. I think he had the best season of all with Creighton, and he played the best game of all. He averaged the most points, and he was just lethal out beyond that arc, so congratulations to him. Kentucky Wildcats, Carly Stein, they say he may play in the Final Four, so we'll see tonight. They tip off in the second game at 8:49 against the Wisconsin Badgers. Let's look at Danny Manning, former Kansas player, went on to the NBA and then went back and got his job as an assistant with Kansas. And then he was Tulsa's head coach for the past 2 years. He has been named the head coach of Wake Forest Demons. He gets to go to the ACC. That's definitely a premier conference when it comes to men's basketball. He gets to compete against the best, Keshefsky, and also Roy Williams is in that league, along with, there's Leonard out there from FSU, and then NC State, and I think others come, that are there. Pitt Panthers is there with Jamie Dixon, and also Jim Boeheim with Syracuse. So if you want to be in men's basketball on the college level, I really think the ACC is the place to be. So we'll see how that goes. But congratulations to Danny Manning. I'm proud of him. He seemed to have run a very clean and wonderful program with Tulsa. So let's see what he does with Wake Forest. They were definitely in need of a new head coach. The other coach just did not perform after letting, go of, I think it was Guriyama, the last coach with Wake Forest. So it was so good. That's now on ESPN. We have with us Jim Arnold. He's with us, and he is a UConn enthusiast. We may not get along tonight, but today we're definitely going to have some conversation about March Madness and what's going to happen. Mr. Arnold, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I am great. Thank you again for being a part of this. I'm just crazy about March Madness. Usually all 3 weeks I try to take some time off so I can watch it. And I followed my Gators as you have, your UConn Huskies. And here we are down to the Final Four. I want to know right away, did you expect Kevin Ollie to have this kind of success right away?
Well, let's just put it this way. I'm not really that surprised because Kevin Ollie's history is one of climbing the mountain, if you will, as a player and as a player not only in college but in the NBA. He he fought hard. He's always been there plugging away. For example, back when as a player at UConn, he was a defensive specialist. He was really good at taking the ball away, forcing turnovers, you know, and he was just a heads-up guy. And as everybody knows, in the NBA, he lasted, I believe, 13 years in the NBA on one-year contracts. Nobody ever gave him any kind of a multi-year contract. So he had to fight his way uphill every time. And so this tells you quite a bit about the character of Kevin Ollie. He's a great guy, and I have nothing but respect for him, and watching him perform has been a real pleasure. We UConn fans love it. You know, he's done a great job. So I'm not shocked at all to see this kind of success.
You know, if it wasn't for being a Gator fan, I do think it's a great story. He played for UConn, went into the NBA, you know, had several teams. I think 8 different teams he played for. He comes back to UConn. He's an assistant. Jim Calhoun is then, you know, health problems decide that he wants to step aside. And then, you know, Kevin Ollie comes into the fact that the team is on suspension the first year. But the second year, he comes out of the gate with a new contract and says, hey, this is what I can do. I can rally this team around me. And what a great story. I really appreciate what he has done. And I think they're more than just thankful to be there. I think they're formidable for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I could not agree more. And, of course, now one of the things that's interesting about this is, as you probably already know, he's actually a native of Texas. And so with the Final Four taking place in Texas, I'm sure that there are a lot of people in Texas that are proud of what he's done also.
Yes, proud of what he's done. And, again, I'm proud of him. And now he gets to go home and have his family there. And I think a lot's going to come down to performance, of course, and who adapts to the depth perception first in such a big stadium. Hold on, Mr. Arnold. We have a caller on the line. Let me see what's going on. Caller, you are on the air. Hello, caller, you're there? Okay, we're obviously having some connection problems. We'll come back to him. Now, Mr. Arnold, tell me, who is going to make the difference for UConn Huskies? Boatwright's out there. Daniels, you know, reading about him, and Daniels averaging about 13 points a game, can step out beyond the arc and shoot that ball. So he will definitely be a coverage problem. But Shabazz Napier is the man. Who has to step up tonight for them?
I think one of the things that I'm looking for is to see Brimer, the 7-footer, step up and block some shots. He's really good at it, and the thing that's kind of scary is that he really has not played basketball that long, and he is a freshman. So, but he has really caught on, and he's done a great job. So I'm looking for him to do some big things. Gafai also is another player that you have to look at, because if he were to get hot shooting from three-point range, he could be a dangerous person to look out for. So, and, of course, Boatwright, that's another story of a guy who really has some tremendous skills that hopefully he's going to be around for another year. I don't know, maybe, but he's a junior, and he has one more year of eligibility left, so we'll see what happens there. But when he gets hot, he can also be a pretty dangerous scoring threat.
Yes, I agree with you that Boatwright scares me also. Mr. Blocker, I have you on the air. I want to ask you, what are your thoughts? You know, because me and Mr. Arnold are probably going to agree tonight. What are your thoughts, Florida versus UConn this afternoon?
Well, the only thing I know is that Jim Arnold always supports Connecticut, and you
Correct.
Always support Florida. I mean, that's all I know. I mean, so when Florida and Connecticut play, Jim Arnold, who is a Connecticut person, supports the University of Connecticut girls and men's basketball, and you support everything Florida. But I do believe Jim Arnold and Princess that Kentucky is going to win the whole thing. and they're going to play against Florida, and they're going to beat Florida in the championship game.
Wow. You know,
that, what a joke.
Well, you know what? Mr. Arnold, tell me, what do you think of Florida really as far as the four seniors on that team and how they seem to be a little bit destined to get to this point? I don't know if they can go further, but what do you think of those four seniors? Because I'm sure you've seen them play other than just against you all.
Well, okay, let me give you a little history on my past background with, relative to Florida. We lived in Florida mm-hmm. for 4 years, and I'm familiar with Florida and its history and the fact that the University of Florida won back-to-back championships in 2006 and 2007. And Billy mm-hmm. Donovan gets my respect for being a high-quality coach, and he usually puts together a really high-powered team. So there is no question but that the Florida team is one to be reckoned with because they do have the talent, the skill, and also the coaching with Billy Donovan and his experience. He's quite a coach.
I agree with you. And so was Jim Calhoun, and he really built that rich tradition. And when I look at the NBA, there's so many there that has that background coming from UConn. I want to ask you both, Mr. Arnold first, and then you, Mr. Blocker, next. And if there's any other callers that are on, because I have you all linked in now, you can chime in. One and done's with Kentucky. Tell me what you think about Calipari's approach to college basketball and how he sits in his living rooms and say, hey, come play for me for a year. I'll get you ready for the NBA. What do you think of that, Mr. Arnold?
Well, I guess it's pretty easy for us who are interested in seeing, especially African-American young men, achieving college degrees. But this is a new day, and we're living at a time where most of the young players who make it to high-quality squads like Kentucky and UConn and Florida are really aiming at the NBA from the very beginning. So you just have to be realistic about it. My personal feeling is that I would like to see these young men get as much out of a college experience as possible. But this is a day and time when they just they go for the money. For example, in talking about UConn, back when UConn won the 2004 national championship, the second one of the three that they won, I really do believe that they could have won again in 2005, except Andrew Bynum, who had committed to UConn and was in a seven-footer, big-time player we were expecting. If he had kept his word and entered UConn to play with them, I think they could have won another championship because Okafor had left. You know, he had departed for the NBA. Of course, he already had his degree and some hours towards his master's, but instead, he decided to go to the Lakers for the money, in which he really, in hindsight, I don't know if he would agree with me or not, but he would have been a much better NBA player if he had gotten at least 1 year experience under the tutelage of Jim Calhoun. And I think he would have been a much better player in the NBA, but he sat on the bench for the most part in L.A. that first year, but he was getting paid. So what can you say? It's mm-hmm. one of those. But I just believe that it would be better for all college players or the young men that are coming out to get as much out of the college experience as possible. But it's just not happening that way. So what can you say? It is what it is.
Yeah, in my house, education was first. You had to go home. It was just not enough for high school. You had to at least go get that four-year degree. Mr. Blocker, what can you tell me about John Calipari and the one-and-dones that he seems to be producing like magic?
I have a lot of respect for the coach at Kentucky. In today's basketball or sports arena, and Jim and I, we have talked about this a lot, in today's sports world, when you have these talented young men coming out of high school, and the rules said that they must do at least 1 year in basketball, and I think 2 years or 3 years in order to go to NFL draft. If that's how you're going to earn your money, then let's go ahead and let these young people go ahead and do what they're supposed to do and make the money while they can, because everybody else is making money. The schools are making money. Mm-hmm. The coaches are making money. Everybody makes money, and they should have an opportunity to earn a living if that's what they want to do. Now, everybody don't do this. A lot of young men do go and willingly stay. But the coach from Kentucky says on the front end, if you want to go and play 1 year and leave and go into the NBA draft and you do what I tell you to do, and he's done a magnificent job this year, because everybody at the beginning of the year, including Jim Arnold, including you, Bruces, did not predict Kentucky being this far in March Madness.
Well, now, if you remember correct, they have 6 McDonald's All-Americans, and they were predicted to win the SEC. As a matter of fact, a lot said they would go 40-0. So that was a big hype at the beginning of the season, but they had to get together. They couldn't play like freshmen. They had to gel, and that's exactly what they did. Gentlemen, we're going to have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue this, because I want to ask about Wisconsin and Kentucky and that matchup, because you all talked about it. But we haven't mentioned Bo Ryan at all and him being this Final Four. This is his first appearance in it. So if you all hold on, we'll be right back. This is Never Had It So Good Sports Talk Radio. Make sure to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/NeverHadItSoGoodSportsRadio, and to follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/NeverHadItRadio. Also, be mindful, next week we have GH's Elite on Monday. We have Tony Ballard from Hustle Inc., quarterback.com out of Atlanta on Tuesday. On Wednesday, we have risingseniors.com and Joe Burns out of Atlanta, Georgia. And on Thursday, we have former Steeler and Carolina Panther, Emerson Martin. He will be talking about his organization out of Raleigh, North Carolina, Players to Pros. And as always, on Friday, we are live at Hills Barbershop, 2339 Elmwood Avenue in Columbia, South Carolina, with Deacon Moses Felder, the sports prophet. They're talking the hot topics in sports with me. This is Never Had It So Good Sports Talk Radio.
GHS Elite Management Group, a full-service sport marketing and management firm specializing in the elite management, marketing, and branding of professional athletes. If you're looking to expand your market and maximize your potential, consider allowing GHS Elite Management Group to provide you with elite and professional service. We can be found on the web at www.ghselite.com. There you can find a list of all services that we provide, and we are currently running a nonprofit development special. To contact us, send us an email at info@ghselite.com.
1976 C28 Chevy Camaro. Feel the power. How would you like to win this car? That's right. How would you like to win a 1976 C28 Chevy Camaro? Listen to the following announcement for your chance to win.
Nonprofit organizations play a major role in servicing, improving, and building strong communities. But who helps those who help others? Give & Go is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping the help. By joining Give & Go, members are contributing to sustainable change in our communities by nominating nonprofits of their choice to receive micro grants and sponsorship. You also receive great benefits when you become a member. Plus, you could win a 1976 Chevy Camaro. So, help the help. Join Give & Go today. Just visit giveandgo.org. That's giveandgo.org.
Man, who's that cat coming down the street?
I don't know, but it sounds to me like that's just a man with the bone.
Still having himself a ball.
Oh,
Okay, we are back with Never Had It So Good Sports Talk Radio, and we're talking to some interesting players today, and that is Benjamin Blocker and Jim Arnold, and we're talking about March Madness and what's going on with them. We also want to mention some scores in NBA last night. There was a lot going on, and none bigger than the overtime win by the Minnesota Timberwolves. They beat my Miami Heat. That was a game that the Heat were trying to get up one game on the Indiana Pacers, but they could not do it. So the Heat have 7 games left, and the Pacers have 5 games left. Let's see who will take that and who will come out on top. What's at stake, and that is the home court advantage in the Eastern Conference. Never Had It So Good Sports Talk Radio. We are talking to Benjamin Blocker and Jim Arnold, and we're talking March Madness. Who's going to win? At 6:09 tonight, the tip-off is UConn versus Florida. And at 8:49 tonight, Kentucky versus Wisconsin. Mr. Arnold, please tell me, what do you think? Wisconsin, Kentucky, your thoughts. I got Mr. Blocker, but what do you think is going to happen with that and Bo Ryan being in his first Final Four?
Actually, I feel that Kentucky will take it. They're a talented team, a very, very talented team. Young but talented, so I think they have a slight advantage, to be honest with you. And of course, you know that I'm predicting that UConn is going to beat Florida again for the second time this year.
Yes, sir.
And then taking a look at it, some of the differences are in size, actually, because the believe it or not, UConn is a slightly larger team. They're a little bit taller than the Florida Gators are. For example, the UConn team has 3 players that are 6'10 plus, Breimer
mm-hmm.
being the plus at 7 foot tall, and Nolan and Oland are the 6'10 players. And of course, with the front court people that are at Florida, Patrick Young, for example, is a center, but he's only 6'9". So, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's not quite your prototypical center in big-time college basketball, although he is a talented player. But 6'9"
mm-hmm.
is a little bit small for that position.
You know, Mr. Arnold, I want to ask you before I get Mr. Blocker back in here, and that is, what do you think of Florida's press? Because they will definitely press you all over the court, especially after a made basket. But also, I know that Kevin Ollie will do some of that, too. Do you think that will rattle UConn at all, or do you think because they have now a game on film, they can handle that?
I think they can handle it. Don't forget now, Kevin Ollie has been through this kind of experience as a player and a coach, and so I think that they're going to be very well prepared for that. The only question mark that I have is when Boatwright handles the ball, it becomes a little bit of a question mark. So I just want to see the ball in Napier's hands more so than Boatwright. Although Boatwright is a great player and a good shooter as well, but I'd rather see Shabazz Napier with the ball in his hands in order to break the press down, because he's tough to stop and he can make plays. He is a playmaker, so you know I don't think they're going to have as much problem with that. Although I realize that Florida is ranked in the top 10 as far as defense is concerned, scoring defense
yes.
nationwide, and
mm-hmm.
UConn is not. But, you know, but it depends on the matchups. We'll see what happens.
And that's what it's all about. It depends on the matchup. Yes, Florida is only allowing an average of 53 points a game, which now is ranked number 6 in the nation. Mr. Blocker, I wanted to ask you about Florida. What are your thoughts about their press defense? Do you think that's what will make a difference tonight, or do you think that UConn can handle it?
I think that what Jim was talking about, I think that Jim and you are very knowledgeable when it comes to the detailed facts, but I think that Florida, because it's such a senior team, and I'm going to go with the senior
mm-hmm.
team, they've been together for 4 years. They have a lot of experience working together, even though Connecticut beat them the first part of the year. I really do believe that them been together for 4 years, being a senior team, I think that's going to win out at the end, and with a great coach like Billy Donovan with the experience that he has.
Mm-hmm. You know, Mr. Block, I want to ask you about Wichita State because, you know, they were the glamorous Cinderella all year long. That's a former team of Xavier McDaniels. That's his college team. And they really did play angry all year to the tune of 34-0. They ran through their conference, conference tournament, and they get to Kentucky, and Kentucky really just had them blow for blow. They came back. You know, Kentucky came back. I said that, you know, Wichita just didn't have that experience all season of having that rough and tough. Most of their games, they blew people out, and I thought they needed to have more adversity throughout the year. Were you surprised to see Wichita State bow out so quickly?
Yes, I was. I had picked Wichita State at least to get to the Final Eight. I didn't think they would bow, but lucky Kentucky at the beginning surprised me, and I thought like you just – what you just said, I thought about their experience. They've been together for a long time, but competition throughout the year, playing those tough games, losing some, winning some, but playing that tough competition. When they got to a situation where they played Kentucky, and Kentucky gelled just right. They came together at the right time, at the right time of the year, which is March Madness, and they look really, really great. Now, they might falter now that they're in the Final Four, but as of right now, Kentucky is a great team, but I think Florida, that 4 years being together, it's going to be tough for them to beat.
I do agree.
I agree with you, Princess, that the season schedule, of course, the players have no control over that, and the conference that they're in is not as competitive a conference as the SEC or the Big Ten or even the ACC. And but I think that if they had if the system had scheduled at least two or three games against high-powered competition from say the SEC or ACC, Big Ten, I think they would have benefited from it because that way they could have built up that experience. I think that they're a good team. They're not a joke. But it's just that they had not gone through the fire that that you go through when you play in the heavyweight conferences. And that I think that was the biggest problem that they had.
I do agree with you. I think their signature win on this season was Memphis. That was their top 25. And to me, that was just not enough competition. And they really can't control the schedule. They can control some of the out-of-conference. And I guess a lot of people, too, say, hey, I don't want to play you guys. Mr. Arnold, I want to ask you about Michigan State going into that game. Tom Izzo, you know, when I look at a game and a matchup, I do several things. You know, I look at who has the better offensive players, who plays defense well, and then I look at the coach. And I gave the nod to Tom Izzo in UConn versus Michigan State. But Kevin Ollie and UConn all stepped up and gave them blow for blow, and they really neutralized what Payne brought to the game. Was that game a surprise to you? Or I know you went in there hopeful, saying yes, but as a fan and a fan of sport and a student of sport, you would have to say, okay, Michigan State isn't going to go away easy.
That's correct. And to be honest with you, I was a little on the fence there. I said, you know, with Tom Izzo and the experience that he's had as a coach, plus the players at Michigan State. In fact, I kind of thought that Michigan State would go beyond that. But then when I had a chance to take a look at that game, especially early in the game, when UConn came out on fire and they really took it to them early, and I think that that was significant because Michigan State came to realize at that stage, at the early part of the first half, that this team is not a joke, and they came out to play, and they did play hard. And in my opinion, that first 5 minutes or so of the game made the total difference in terms of the attitude not only of Michigan State, but also the UConn players realized that we can do this, you know. And that's the way it turned out.
Yes, that was it. And that was it. You know, UConn came out and said, hey, we're here. We're just not happy to be here, but we're here to play. And I think, you know, the Michigan State players, the Spartans, said, wow, okay, Chavez Napier, all of them, they're going blow for blow for us, and that was the difference, is that they stood their ground, and in the end, I thought they had the better team on that day than Tom Izzo's team. I have two more questions for the both of them, and then I'll let you go, and I want to talk John Thompson a little bit, and then Don Staley at the end, but I watched John Thompson in a series 30 for 30 on the Big East, and what John Thompson did in 1984 to win the national championship, and his words were that I'm just not the first African-American to win a national championship, but I'm the first coach in the Northeast to win a national championship. John Thompson, you know, was just one of those pioneers of college basketball. Mr. Blocker, tell me your thoughts on John Thompson and how he came up with Nkemi Mutombo, Patrick Ewan, Alonzo Mourning, Allen Iverson, and how he made a name for himself at Georgetown.
Well, I have a lot of respect for John Thompson. We took a stand on Proposition, I think, it was that Proposition 48, the proposition that allows students to come in and participate and for schools to give them an opportunity. And when he brought in Alonzo Mourning, he brought in Allen Iverson, he brought in Patrick Ewing, he brought in a lot of other guys. And Jim, I know you're familiar with that because you live Big East basketball, and you were very active in the Big East Conference. So I have a lot of respect for John Thomas. And he also played for the Boston Celtics, I think. And I know Jim
correct.
Was a Boston Celtics fan.
You are absolutely correct.
Wow. Yeah.
Can I tie this all together for you?
You sure can.
When you talk about the Big East, John Thompson and all, there was a coming together of, and this is going to surprise you perhaps a little bit, but the Big East – ESPN all came together, and UConn also came together at about the same time, because prior to Jim Calhoun coming to UConn, nobody had heard of UConn before. But all of a sudden, went from being unheard of, and of course, Jim Calhoun comes from the Boston area and brought to that program the experience of watching Red Auerbach coach the Celtics, who Red Auerbach also coached John Thompson when he played for the Celtics. So this kind of came together all at about the same time, and it's a very interesting story. I don't know if you had a chance to watch on ESPN, the Requiem for the Big East, and it actually broke my heart to see the Big East go the way that it went, but that's another story for another day. But Jim Calhoun brought so much to UConn, and so did Gino Auriemma, by the way. I'd like to talk at this point about the women's basketball as well, because I'm a big women's basketball fan, and particularly again the UConn and what they've done. And I've also come to the point where I'm also rooting for Don Staley and the South Carolina Gamecocks, the women Gamecocks. So, you know, I love to watch them play and to figure out the strategies. But with this whole thing, the ESPN's system, the Big East system, and UConn growing in national prominence all kind of came together about in the same era. And so it's pretty interesting to see how it developed. And also Shabazz Napier, if you've ever lived in the Boston area, you'll know what I mean. Shabazz Napier came from the hood, if you will, or as we always call it in Boston, from the Berry, which is Roxbury. He's a kid from the streets of Boston, and he's become an outstanding basketball player. And so I just love watching him and watching him do well. He's quite a sight to watch. And it'll be interesting to see where he winds up as far as the NBA draft is concerned.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see that too. But it was really neat to see them talk about the Big East, and I'm sad to see it go away too. But the Raleigh Massiminos of the world, the Jim Calhouns, the Lou Conoseca, and Jim Boeheim, and then, of course, you add in John Thompson, those were all characters and key players of the Big East for so many years. Let's talk about the Lady Gamecocks and Don Staley. They were expected to do just a little bit more this year, and I want to talk about Geno Auriemma and the fact that he may get his ninth national championship. To me, that is crazy. He will then exceed Pat Summitt and what she did at the University of Tennessee. But Don Staley, Mr. Blocker, were you sad to see them go away so quickly? Did you think they were going to get to the Final Four?
I was very sad to see her leave so quickly, but I was, and I wanted them to be in the Final Four. In fact, Jim and I had talked about we would love to have seen them play against Connecticut, and then he would have been in a mm-hmm. difficult position. Decide on whether he was going to vote for, root for the Gamecocks, root for his team in Connecticut. But Don Staley has done an outstanding job here at the University of South Carolina, and if she gets this new recruit coming out of Heathwood Hall, this mm-hmm. young lady, if she's able to land her, I think that next year you probably will see her in the Final Four.
And I would love to see her come up with one more outside shooter, and naturally the young lady that you're referring to from Heathwood Hall, Wilson. She is 6'5", and I think mm-hmm. that Don Staley could definitely use her on the boards, and appears that she's a good ball handler as well. So if South Carolina, and if she's listening, you know, even though I'm a big time UConn fan, I would love to see her go to South Carolina to help Don Staley's team there. I'm looking forward to more great things from South Carolina.
I agree with you. And the lady you're talking about is Asia Wilson. So they're trying to get her. And I think they were disappointed that they did not get Xavier McDaniel's daughter. She committed to North Carolina and playing for the Tar Heels. My challenge is, if Tiffany Sessions, if you're listening, you need to get in the gym this year during the summer and work on your outside shot, because North Carolina left you free seven times, and seven times you missed that three. So that's my challenge to Tiffany Sessions. You are definitely worthy of being with the Gamecocks, but I think you need a little bit more practice in that gym, because Don Staley was no joke in college. She was no joke as a pro and with the Olympics, so I want to see them do well. Mr. Arnold, I'm going to give you the floor. Tell me about Geno Auriemma and what he's done with that legacy, because I could go on and on about how much he's created and the women that he's made women and great basketball players in the meantime.
Well, those of us who are UConn fans, and particularly UConn women's basketball fans, we feel that Geno and the women at UConn put women's basketball on the map. And there's mm-hmm. no question about it that Geno is a great recruiter, first of all. And obviously, you can't play the game unless you have the players who can play. So he's a great recruiter. Mm-hmm. He's brought in outstanding players, but he can also coach. And, in fact, as quiet as is kept, many other college basketball coaches, whenever they have a chance to witness Geno's practice sessions, they will sneak in and pick up whatever they can pick up, because you have to know that in order for them to be as successful as they've been over the years, it's not just the players, it's the coaching system and the way that he brings those players along. And the scary thing about it is they're actually this year only going to lose two good players as mm-hmm. seniors. The rest of the team is going to be back, you know. So that's pretty scary. But the other thing, though, is that over the years we've had some problems with this team called Notre Dame. And so that's going to – if we wind up with the two of them playing in the Final Four or in the championship game, that's going to be a sight to see. And it'll probably be one of the highest-rated events of the sports year. So looking forward to that. But with Gino Auriemma, he and Jim Calhoun coming to UConn when they did, during the time that they came in,
mm-hmm.
actually put University of Connecticut on the map, because UConn is a school. It's a big school, actually, but they are located mm-hmm. out in the boonies, out in Storrs, Connecticut, in pretty much we say in the boonies, out in the woods. But nobody knew anything about UConn because prior to them coming there, neither the men's or the women's programs weren't at all outstanding. And then when the Big East was formed and they became a part of the Big East, it really helped to escalate the program. So it's been quite an experience. And we feel very fortunate that we've lived in a few different places, and we're having a chance now to watch Dawn Staley and the program that she has at South Carolina. So it's an outstanding situation, and we're very happy to be here.
Yes, you know, I have to congratulate Dawn Staley, and we're looking to get her on the show in a couple of weeks. And congratulations to Muffet McGraw with Notre Dame, too. And I think they would have a better chance if Achua, I think that's her name, didn't tear her ACL the other night. But it's still going to be a great matchup, but I do look for UConn and Notre Dame to be in that national championship on the women's side. Well, gentlemen, this is about the end of our show. Thank you so much for being incredible people on the show. You make my show better, and I will definitely have you back. Mr. Blocker, I love you as always.
Thank you very much. And let me very quickly say that when it comes to golf, you're not going to find anybody mm-hmm. else who know any more about golf than Jim Allen.
Oh,
wow.
Gee.
Okay.
Put me under the hammer, huh? Okay.
Well, Mr. Arnold, I guess that sets up another show next Wednesday as we get ready for the Masters, huh?
Sure. Give me a call. I'd be more than happy to to discuss it. Golf is one of my passions. So, yes, I'd love that.
Awesome, awesome. And I definitely want to talk Tiger Woods for sure, and then the rest of the field that's going to be at the Masters. This has Never Had It So Good Sports Talk Radio. We're talking to Benjamin Blocker and Jim Arnold about March Madness. And if I get this correct, I think they're both picking Kentucky, but they're one-sided on whether Florida goes or UConn. And I completely understand that, Mr. Arnold. At 6:09 tonight, I will be nervous. I probably won't watch half of the game, but at the end, I'll know if I should call you or not.
Okay, that would be great. I'd love to hear from you. And let me just say to you, too, that I'm very much impressed with your program, and I'm very happy and honored to have the opportunity to participate. But I think you've got it going on, sister.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much. 42 states and 11 countries, and we're trying to get better. Thank you again. This has Never Had It So Good Sports Talk Radio. When we come back, we'll end up the show and talk about what's coming up next week. Never Had It So Good Sports Talk Radio.
Love is the guy that thinks he's blind. It's also known as a buster. Always talking about what he wants and just sits on his broke ass. No, no, I don't want your number. No, I don't wanna give you mine. And no, I don't wanna meet you nowhere. No, don't want none of your time. And no, I don't want no scrub. A scrub is the guy that can't get no love from me. Hanging on the passenger side of a desperate drive.
Okay, we're back. We Never Had a Good Radio, and I am Princess, and we're going to end the show. I want to mention the rest of the scores from men's NBA basketball last night. Memphis 100, Denver 92, Saul 24.5, Boyd 21, Charlotte Orlando, Charlotte extended their win streak 91-80 over Orlando. Oladipo was high man for Orlando at 21 points. Toronto over Indiana. So if Miami could have kept pace, they would have been up right now one game in the Eastern Conference, but they couldn't do it. Atlanta 117, Cleveland 98, Philadelphia 111, Boston 102, Brooklyn 116, Detroit 104, and the Wizards, even though they've made the playoffs, they beat the Knicks, who's trying to climb into the playoffs. They needed Atlanta to lose to make up a game, and that couldn't happen, and they ended up losing themselves. Chicago 102, Milwaukee 90, Utah Jazz 100, New Orleans 96. Houston Rockets, they get back to the winning ways as they beat the Thunder 111-107. Houston was on a three-game losing streak. The Thunder came off of their big win against the Spurs, ending their 19-game winning streak. Phoenix 109, Portland 93. That is our show for today. We talked about NBA. A lot of games on tap tonight, but we are going to have our attention on March Madness and Florida versus UConn. My picks are going to stay the same. Florida Gators, I'm going to ride with them, as the Casey Fraser shirt said, in all kinds of weather. So to my Gator Nation, go Gators. Wish you all the luck tonight. Reverend Robinson will be watching, and I will be clamoring to find another hole or just a quiet place just to kind of check the score. This has never had it so good, though. We have a lot of things coming up next week, and hopefully we can get Bruce Ellington in the house at Hills Barbershop. A shout-out to Deacon Moses Felder, Nation's number one, the sports prophet, Reverend James John Robinson. I can't do this without you. Love you guys, and I will see you at Hills Barbershop every Friday at 5 o'clock. Never had it so good. Sports Talk Radio.
Tonight.
Yeah, off the wall.
Groove.
Off the wall, baby. Check it. Live it.
I can't believe this feeling that I'm on.
And the night just started.
Ain't even thinking about how I'm getting home.
Cause it's time to party.
And the club is packed from the front to the back. That's the way I like it. Ain't gotta care at all. We about to set it off.
Yeah, I love it.